The movie The End of the Spear tells the true story of five missionaries who gave their lives to reach the violent Wadoni tribe down in the jungles of Ecuador in the 1950s. Under the leadership of Nate Saint, the missionaries were eager to reach the Wadoni people before they killed each other off through their intertribal warfare and their vicious revenge killings. In the movie, as Nate prepares for his adventure, his family gathers around him and his son Stephen looks into the back of the packed plane, and there he notices his father's rifle. Obviously worried, he turns to his father and asks, "If the Wadoni attack, will you use your rifle? Will you defend yourself?" At this point, Nate looks at his son in the eye and responds, "Son, we can't shoot the Wadoni people. They're not ready for heaven. We are." They are not ready for heaven. We are. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is because there is a world out there who is not ready for heaven that Jesus calls each and every one of us to be his witnesses. You see, our Lord came to earth, suffered and died in our place, and destroyed the power of sin, death, and the devil because he loves us. He created us. He redeemed us. He makes us his own so that you and I and all people everywhere are able to be made ready for heaven. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is gathering his disciples around him and shares with them and us his own divine exit strategy. The last words that Jesus speaks before he ascends has to do with getting the world ready for heaven. You will be my witnesses. That's Jesus' exit strategy. That's his plan for the spread of the gospel. That's his plan for the salvation of the world. That's the only plan for the rescue and reclamation of everyone's eternal soul. Jesus has entrusted the whole thing to us. We are his exit strategy. So how's that going? Are you being a faithful and effective witness to the person and work of Jesus Christ? Yes? No? I don't know. Maybe part of the problem is we don't exactly know what a witness is. We're not sure what a witness is supposed to be able to do or say. And that's fair. It could be that we need to contemplate an understanding of what a biblical witness is. And if we look at the concept as it's fleshed out in Scripture, we find that there are four claims that are made about witnesses. One, a witness is not a volunteer, but has been called by Christ to testify. My friends, being a witness to the person and work of Jesus is more than a suggestion. It is Christ's will for every single person in his church. It is not an optional endeavor. Rather, it is what we are called to do. Two, the testimony of the witness is about the person and work of Jesus. See, it is the Lord himself who is witnessed in the testimony. Having a compelling story or an intellectual grasp of all kinds of biblical information and being able to present that well, that's not a bad thing. It can be very helpful, but it's not the same thing as being a witness. For in the end, it's not so important what you know as who you know. Three, the purpose of the testimony that a witness gives is to save people. The verse, as you know, is not for God so loved theology. It's not for God so loved worship. It's not for God so loved emotions. It's not even for God so loved Jesus. You know the verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, because God loves you and me and everyone else. He did it because he has a heart for his people. And so that is the motivation of the witness as well. 4, the whole life of the witness is bound up in the testimony. The whole life of the witness is bound up in the testimony. This is not merely a matter of words spoken, but being a witness means a total engagement of speech and action, of mind and body, of head and heart. It is more than what we do. It is who we are. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, with all of that biblical knowledge and understanding behind us, it would seem clear that whatever has restricted our witness in the past, whatever has prevented us from giving a clear testimony about the work and person of Jesus, is now a thing of the past. It can no longer hamper or hinder your witness. But let's face it, we all know it's not that easy. You know there's more to the problem than just a lack of good knowledge. Like me, you know the deeper, more sinister reasons on why we are so often unfaithful and ineffective witnesses. We think we don't have what it takes. We think we'll do more harm than good. We think we're not good enough. We think we're just wasting our time. We think we're just wasting other people's times. We think it's someone else's job. We think it's all up to us. We think we're in it by ourselves. We think we're alone. We think we're inarticulate. We think we're insufficient. Brothers and sisters, the disciples had all these same issues, doubts, shortcomings, and insufficiencies that we have. And Jesus knew it. He knew even better than they or we do. And yet, he still made them his divine exit strategy, because he knew that even though they were deficient, he would make them sufficient. Do not leave Jerusalem, he told them, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So let me ask you a question. Are you baptized? Because if you are baptized, then God has put his Son on you and he has put his Spirit in you. And you are not alone. You are not on your own. You are not insufficient. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you and in you in your baptism. He now comes underneath you and bears you up and moves you along and gives your witness power. He makes your witness winsome and effective. Yes, you're still the ones who have to walk and talk and give the witness, but the Holy Spirit is doing all of the heavy lifting. He is carrying you along. He is making your meager movements more meaningful, more substantial, more significant than they ever could have been on your own. This doesn't mean that we don't plan. This doesn't mean that we don't train. This doesn't mean that we don't organize ourselves. This doesn't mean that we don't put forth the effort to be good and faithful witnesses. You have to be actively engaged in the effort. But when you have the Spirit of the Lord with you, filling your sails and carrying you along, you accomplish more. You cover more ground. You are more faithful and effective than you ever could have imagined. The 11 disciples were about to discover that. They were there with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and they weren't much to look at. Confused, having betrayed the Lord once before, they were common from the backwater. They had few social graces. They had limited knowledge, undefined leadership, and so on and so on and so on. But something happens to a man when he witnesses someone who is risen from the dead. Something happens inside the soul of a man who has stood inches from God. For once, they would simply follow the directions given and do as they were told. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they returned to Jerusalem, and they waited. And the wind of the Spirit blew on them. And the rest, as we say, is history. They became an unstoppable force. The gospel of Jesus Christ spread like wildfire across all the civilized world. They were infectious. They were a moving organism. And they refused to be silenced and stopped. What would it take for that fire to burn that brightly here in Humboldt? Somehow those 11 fellows did it. They did it without dragging their feet or making excuses, because for them, it was rather obvious. All I know is he was dead. And yet now, he lives. Something happens to someone when they stand inches away from the Lion of Judah. Something happens when they hear the lion's roar, when they touch his golden mane. Something happens when they get so close they can feel the lion's breath. Maybe we could all use a return visit. Maybe we could all again witness his majesty and sigh at his victory. Maybe we all could use a reminder and hear our commission again. Will you tell them? Jesus asks those first 11 witnesses, will you tell them that I am alive and that I will come back again? We will, those disciples answered. And they did. And so will you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in our risen and ascended Lord. Amen.